Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to talk about MLB second half betting strategies is Josh Ingles, betting in list for Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Covers_Josh. Josh, great to have you back on the show.
What's up, man? It's been a while. A lot's changed since the last time we talked. I think you're back in Florida now. Family's grown. It's great to see. So happy to be here and jamming as well, brother.
Yes. So today what we're going to talk about is MLB second half betting strategies and opportunities, because it's very unique. In MLB, there's the haves and the have-nots. So unlike some other leagues where you can roll in as an 8 seed and still win the title, in MLB, there's only a handful of teams that have a chance at winning it all. And what are the opportunities that present itself for or against? Hey, are we betting on the good teams? Are we fading the teams who are bringing up call-ins? We're going to get to all of that. We're also going to uncover some opportunities for us in the futures market, as well as the live betting market. And Josh, I actually want to start with the live betting market, because in doing preparation for this, I saw some new markets that I had not yet bet into that I'm curious for you to hear about, and all in live betting. In the first one, pitch result. So right as we speak right now, we're recording this on Wednesday at 3 p.m.
Eastern. Micro betting,
right? So hey, I'm looking for opportunities right now. And there is a Phillies game that was in the sixth inning right now. And I'm looking at this, and Nick Castellanos is at bat. Minus 120 for a strike or a foul. Plus 135 for a ball or a hit by pitch. And plus 500 if he gets it in play. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, huh, this micro betting. And of course, as the at bat gets longer, now you can sort of start to be a little bit more strategic in things. We can start to look into pitch counts by pitcher, as well as average number of pitches per at bat by batter. I'm curious if pitch result is something that you've ever explored betting on the micro level.
I personally have not. I've never even seen it offered in the live games that I'm betting. I've talked to people who like it, but I think they're more not degenerate bettors, as opposed to, I think they're degenerate more gamblers. I think there's a dangerous slope with micro betting, and I think the books want us to micro bet, because I think the margins there are probably in the book's favor, like always. And the money that can get turned over in what, I don't know, 300 pitches per game, I would assume, about 100 from starters, 50 for relievers, both sides. That's a lot of action going down. You have no edge. It's tough. I get it. The cool thing you said, and I'm sure the books would really like this, is that as soon as you said plus 500 for ball in play, right, as a bettor, you're like, oh, that's enticing. But as a seasoned bettor, I know right away what that feeling's like, and we're not going to get any breaks from the books. So it's probably not a market I would look into. But like you said, there probably are some tendencies. You could find small edges, but I'm sure they'd weed you out, and then you wouldn't be allowed to micro bet as much anymore.
Yeah, so even further deepening into this market. So we've got plate appearance on base. So yes, plus 175. No, minus 240. I saw pitch count per at bat over 3.5, minus 135, under 3.5, plus 100. I also saw live player totals on home runs. And remind you, this game is in the sixth inning, in the bottom of the sixth. So for example, and it was Phillies Braves, Kyle Schwarber was at plus 750. Austin Riley was at plus 900. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right, let's assume that they haven't hit a home run so far in that game. We've got one, maybe two at-bats. So knowing that the home run market on some of the best players can sit there, maybe plus 300, a little bit less or so. Any thoughts on the home run market there, where if you're like, listen, maybe someone's due, or you've got that feeling, if it's like, haven't hit it, we've got one or two at-bats. Is there a possible edge or opportunity here?
As I'm trying to do the math in my head. So like you said, Schwarber probably going into that game was, What, plus 300, which equates to 25% probability, assuming four, just over 4.4 plate appearances a game will make it easy. As soon as he's already, I don't know, anytime after the four and a half, fifth inning, that those odds should probably be double immediately. So, and then you would think would have to get doubled again, assuming only one more at bat. So it's still pretty short. On the side, I wouldn't like it. One thing I have noticed, it's actually pretty cool, and I've picked up on it just from being late to the market and betting the home run markets. You can get better odds. Same with hockey. You can sometimes get better odds in the live game, like pre-pitch, than the opening line, than the closing line before the game, if I made any sense when I was saying that. In the live odds, sometimes the home run odds are actually better before anyone's even hit than the closing odds of the pregame.
Oh, I like it. So I think the lesson here is what we're seeing.
Hold on, let me go back. Sorry, let me stop. So you said the home run was plus 900?
For Austin Riley, yeah.
But I could get ball in play per pitch at plus 500?
Yeah, for Nick Castellanos.
Interesting. I think there's something better. I think those home run odds are garbage.
Good.
Don't get me wrong. Plus 500 is probably not good, but... Yeah, I would stay away from those. Anytime they're trying to get your money in during a game, something like that, margins are always up. Margins are up substantially from pregame stuff. So, I mean, you're losing a ton of value and probably a lot of minus EV stuff going on there.
Good, because what we actually uncovered is what not to do, because, of course, my eyes look like a Vegas marquee. Plus 500, ball in play, they can get out. You're telling me this is a thing, but... seeing how you're sort of breaking all of this down, the value is not there, and we want to be informed bettors, not chasers. So, Josh, the next thing that I want to jam about you with is the futures market for who's going to win the World Series. And actually, the thing that I want to talk to you about is how absurd it is in MLB that there is not competitive balance. Because when I looked at everything right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates, Colorado Rockies, Oakland A's, Nationals, Royals, Reds, Cubs, and Diamondbacks are all plus 200,000 to win the title. So much so that I'm like, what does that actually equate to? And I think the number is 2,000 to 1 to win it. To juxtapose this, I looked at the NFL, and the Texans are the worst at plus 25,000. So just 250 to 1. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because we're talking about the haves and the have nots, and to see how big of a disparity this is. So the Texans at plus 25,000, the closest to that right now would come somewhere between the Cleveland Guardians at plus 10,000 and the Miami Marlins at plus 40,000 right there. So this is really showing you how big of a disparity there is between the haves and the have-nots. That Cleveland, a team right now that is only 2.5 games out of the wild card, is as close to the Texans as there is in MLB betting.
Yeah, first of all, the books aren't giving the Guardians a lot of credit in the playoffs here. And with the expanded playoffs, the luck factor kind of runs out. It's a bit more of a gauntlet with what's going on, so it'll be a little difficult to squeeze your way through tougher competition. So in saying that, what was it? Plus 175,000 equates to 0.1% probability. Obviously, the season's over for everybody. But what did they start off? I think someone that had early action early in the season, I think it was Detroit. They made the moves. They got Rodriguez. They got Baez. Sharp money got on them. I think they opened at 60 to 1. So that's like, what did you say Houston was in the NFL?
Plus 25,000, so 250 to 1.
Oh, okay. It's not crazy, but like you said, I'm looking at the odds right now, and it's just so top-heavy. The Dodgers are... they're just so good. I mean, I think they lost a couple nights ago. I don't stay up for the West Coast games too late, but plus 350, the Yankees at plus 400, the Astros at plus 425. And then you have the Mets at plus 700. DeGrom could be coming back. They could be spending money. They'd probably be a team as we maybe even segue into what you would do for future bets in the trade market and what happens. They might be a team that the cool thing, and we saw it with the NBA draft, we saw it with the NHL draft and such, that the books don't have the advantage on us as bettors sometimes in these situations. They're getting information at the same rate that we are. And if we can get to that information before them and beat them to odds and have outs and go to different books, boom, let's say the Mets get Soto. Let's say the Mets get Luis Castillo. If I'm still getting plus 700 odds, if I can still get that knowing that they loaded up on a top three hitter or top rotation pitcher, I'd be taking that any day just for the plus EV. And then as a bettor and as a book, they'll take those initial markets down, the win outrights. But then as a bettor, then you start filtering down to the secondary and tertiary markets. Then you go to division titles. Then you go to make playoff titles, because all these odds don't get changed at the exact same time and they have to go in and change them. So as a bettor, August 2nd is a trade deadline. Pay attention to it. Find out what's happening. You're not going to get a lot of value. If the Dodgers make a big splash, they're probably not going to change much more than plus 350 that they are now. It's just it doesn't get much lower than that pre-playoff stuff. But there are some fringe teams like the Braves, the Brewers, the Padres. The Padres want to make a splash too. They could change their odds dramatically. They could go from 18-1. They could go to 11-1. And that's crazy value if you can beat the books before they change the line on that information. Because sometimes, as we've seen, when information trickles out, books can become a little slow and hesitant, and not all books move at the same rate.
Yeah, and to me, the Padres would be the team that I would be looking at right there, because right now, 3.5 games up in the wild cards. So you're like, all right, here's a team that is in the playoffs as we speak right now. We already know that they're all in. But if they go, if they really get someone, so sitting there at 22-1 odds, Braves are the, or I guess, Brewers the next closest at 20-1, followed by the Braves at 8.5-1 right there. Man, so
FanDuel odds are so good. FanDuel has great future odds right now. I was looking at 365. It's not even close to the numbers you just said.
Yes, and I'm the ones that I'm speaking of are from DraftKings right now. So if you're looking at 22-1 for the Padres, what would one major move do for them? And then what we'll call next is the cascading effect. So let's say you want to get ahead of this right now, and you're like, you know what? There are some big odds right there on the Padres. Maybe there is an opportunity for them to do something. Boom. You can then cascade this and say, well, maybe I'm going to take them to win the National League. I don't know about them winning the division, but winning the National League may be the other alternative bet where you're going to say, I'm going to roll the dice on this.
Absolutely. Like I'm looking at the Brewers at 25-1. And as we saw in the playoffs, especially those early round playoffs, you just load up at your front end, short starts. Like we saw the Houston Atlanta, like pitchers weren't going five innings. There's anything can really happen. These front end starters usually don't get that deep into the playoffs. It's not eight inning games anymore. Changes are being made so quickly, and the middle of that bullpen has become so important. And that's probably the easiest part of the roster that teams can address at this time. So you don't really need that much loaded front end talent in the pitching. Like a team like the Jays with maybe Manoah and Gausman might be a target. And it might be a reason why someone actually like the Yankees, who aren't crazy strong up front in their rotation, obviously Cole there, but when you fall away from Severino and James Tyone, maybe that's enough to get through when you got probably the best middle arms and bullpen. So there are different strategies when we're looking at it. So you don't have to have the deepest rotation, the deepest team. So I don't know, a team like Milwaukee stands out with a great bullpen, great defense, some thunder sticks in the middle. 25-1 looks like a great bet for there. There might be like last year's Braves, I think, if they can maybe add one more stick. And obviously the Jays, what they did with Boston, look like they're doing, and it looks like the front office wants to add there too.
All right, let's stick with the theme of arms, and let's look at the Cy Young. And right now, the National League Cy Young looks like there's a runaway landslide with Sandy Alcantara at minus 150, yeah. Corbin Burns coming in at plus 650. But hold on a second. Looking into this right now, and I don't know if it should be such a landslide, similar to what you're saying, because with pitchers, things can change very quickly. And What is the big difference between these two in looking at their stats right now? So Alcantara is sitting there, 1.81 ERA, 9-4 on the season, 8.3 Ks per nine, his WAR 5.6. The big thing for him, he's had 7 innings and 13 straight starts, longest of any pitcher since 2014. So there's a lot of juice for him. But Corbin Burns just sitting there at a 2.20 ERA, 7-4 on the season, 11.3 Ks per nine, 3.8 wins against replacement. Their whip virtually identical right there. So am I really seeing that big of a difference between Alcantara and Corbin Burns? I don't, for the difference in the pricing being 150 to 650. Minus 150 being a prohibitive favorite. We know with pitchers, one, injury risk is always a thing, especially in baseball. Tomorrow you could wake up and be like, boom, he's on the shelf for 15 days, 30 days, and Burns could just continue to mow him down, and he's having another Cy Young type season. To me, those numbers just seem way too high for me. I'm going to consider throwing a few sprinkles on Burns. What are your thoughts?
My thought is, as we do this on Wednesday in the afternoon, as the Brewers are playing right now, he just gave up 3 runs in the first 2 innings to the Twins. So going into that bet, I would assume he could probably get a better price when these odds reopen tomorrow. But if pitchers like Sandy Alcantara is literally at the top of WAR and by a substantial amount, and I think when we're looking at the vote and who's getting it, that's a really massive thing. 4.1 WAR is massive when you think about it, when someone like Shohei Ohtani sitting with a 3. Obviously the volume's different, but that's how dominant Alcantara has been, and he's been so good. He's not even a K per nine pitcher, which allows him to get deep, which allows him to eat innings, and 144 innings compared to, oh, let's just take Carlos Rodon for an example. He's up there too, 116 innings. So that's 30. We're just about 30 innings. That's 5 games difference. So he's eating innings. His WAR is substantially higher than everybody else. It's going to be a tough one to get off. I think the odds on that are right, but don't get me wrong. There's a reason why Corbin Burns won it last year too and has been up there in the betting favorites all year too.
Okay, so next market we're going to look at is MVP. And right now, Paul Goldschmidt is running away in the NL, minus 155. Up next, Freddie Freeman, plus 700. And the thing about rooting against the Cardinals or being a non-Cardinals fan is when they do things like get Paul Goldschmidt or Nelson Arenado, and you're like, oh my God, how is this humanly possible? And then you look and you're like, oh, Paul Goldschmidt's back to being good again, and he's now the favorite. So how much of a disparity is between the two? Because we're looking for opportunities for value in this. So right now, Paul Goldschmidt batting 335, 24 home runs, 77 RBIs, wins against replacement, 5.2. Freddie Freeman, second, batting 322, just 15 home runs, 63 RBIs, a WAR of 4. So there is a pretty massive difference between the two of them right now. Freddie Freeman's having a great season, but it's going to take an injury for Goldschmidt to not win that.
Or more series is in Toronto where he can't play baseball. Oh,
right.
Sorry. I didn't know we were allowed to talk about that. Goldschmidt. But it's nuts what he's doing right now. Like, I'm back on Fangraphs looking at WAR. Aaron Judge, 5.8. Number two is Goldschmidt at 5. And then Nolan Arenado at 4.8. His numbers are pretty impressive, even compared to Judge. Weighted on base, higher. His runs created plus is higher. This is a guy who creates more. This is a guy who's creating nearly double the amount of runs versus the average player in MLB right now. And I think if you can get him at minus 120 and he can stay healthy, that's going to be a lock. I don't think anyone's coming out for him. Freddie Freeman, obviously, bigger rotation or bigger lineup behind him. But if you see St. Louis, and St. Louis does make a push for Milwaukee in that division and gets through there, If you see the back end of that lineup, it's not a very threatening lineup that's really middle heavy. So I would think Goldschmidt right now is by far the most valuable player to his team in the NL. Don't get me wrong, Freddie Freeman probably, I think, the best hitter in baseball over the last 15 or the last 10 years, I think. But give me Goldschmidt here at -120. The numbers just pop off. But he has like a .385 batting average in balls in play. That is insane. But that might regress next year. And like we said off air, that there's only so much time to regress to the mean following the All-Star break here.
Any thoughts on the AL where it's a two-horse race between Judge and Ohtani, where Judge is the favorite, -110, Ohtani +110?
Get Judge. Ohtani's bat isn't anywhere near as it was last year. I think Ohtani's bat was like a 5.1 war last year, and now it's a 1.7. The drop-off is massively significant. And if you wanted to get down on some Ohtani props, avoid the MVP. And we saw right after the All-Star break, we saw how delicate that market is right now, because coming out of the All-Star break, Ohtani was the betting favorite with Judge at about +140. But then Judge comes out, hits a home run in his first game back. Ohtani gave up 6 runs in that game, struck out 11 batters and 65 pitches, but he still gave up 6 runs later in that game. And then he got leapfrogged by Judge for the AL MVP there. So on Judge, on Goldschmidt, I don't see how either of them lose. And like I said, they're the top 2 guys in war in baseball offensively. But if you want a long shot, if you want some plus money here, Cy Young, I'm jumping on some Ohtani. It was +1200 at FanDuel the other day. It's still probably still there. Yeah, he'll start Thursday or today if this is getting released on Thursday. So this will be a big day. And the cool thing is, and we talked about Alcantara, massive innings, a very competitive field. It's not the same in the AL. It's a 3-horse race. I think it's a 3-horse race, being priced as a 2-horse race, with Shane McClanahan as the betting favorite at about +160 and Justin Verlander up around +320 or whatever, somewhere similar. But we look at those two guys, McClanahan, young rookie, left-handed pitcher, young pitcher, comes out of Tampa Bay. We know what Tampa Bay does with their pitchers. He's thrown more innings than he ever has in his life right now. Could get scaled back, could jump a day, depending on what Tampa Bay wants to do with the playoffs. And then we could see if Tampa Bay settles into the playoffs, they could scale him back because they're going to need him. Because as we saw last year with him and Baz starting back-to-back games, what can happen? So they need McClanahan to probably start 2 of 3 games, hopefully, lower pitch count. So his innings could come down. Justin Verlander coming off Tommy John, he's 39 years old. Houston's pretty much locked up the West, and they're going to need a deep run. They'll want Verlander, so his numbers could get scaled back. And that's the only thing against Ohtani, because he doesn't always go out every fifth day. I don't even think he qualifies as a pitcher right now because he doesn't have as many innings played. But in saying that, at 12-1, I think this is much closer of a 3-horse race than the odds are indicating.
All right, last question for you, Josh, is second half betting strategies, the haves versus the have-nots. And if we're going to be looking at this on a game-by-game basis, because we see the teams who are going to be making a push at the trade deadline, adding some new pieces, so the rich get even richer, and the ones at the bottom, they're going to get even worse, and we're going to start to see call-ups coming up here. Is there an overreaction on the bottom end or opportunity on either one of these polls?
I think it's more of an overreaction. I wouldn't be changing my projections in game-to-game pricing based on people that have zero sample size coming up in the MLB. You've seen it with a bunch of guys struggling. Like, not everybody's going to be Julio Rodriguez jumping up into the big leagues here, and there's only so many of J-Rods too. They're not all like that. I would credit teams more for bringing up pitching prospects. I think it would be more valuable in that sense, but then still I wouldn't be changing their odds too much when it comes to outright prices. It's not something, honestly, I won't lie, that I've really dug into and I'm waiting for, you know, as I got a bookmark, but there are some guys. What do we got? Miguel Vargas, the Dodgers have the number one guy in the prospect pool right now, Miguel Vargas, third baseman. But even if he comes up, which he probably won't, like, it's not going to change much in the odds for the Dodgers. St. Louis has an outfielder in Alex Burleson, but they're already there. They already got some deep guys, some young guys already in that lineup already. So nothing's really cemented, and that's why we really haven't heard too much about it. It's not like, oh, here comes the call-up that's going to save the Guardians, their big push into the playoffs.
But what about on the totals market one way or another? Because a young pitcher can come up and get shelled. At the same time, absolutely, we've seen plenty of young hot prospects that are batters struggle, including ones who are called up right now where it's like, wow, you're hitting 211 and welcome to the early part of Byron Buxton's career, the ups and downs. And there's a million players like him where all of a sudden, let's say the Pirates take on the Dodgers or Pirates take on any number of these teams. Do you change? All right, is there an opportunity in the totals market where here's a team that's barely hitting to begin with, and now they've got a bunch of people that you never even heard of before, and here's Dodgers, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, boom, they just keep on mashing. Is a total potentially a better way for us to look than in the game line or the run lines?
I would look. I don't think the average change above a replacement player level for a rookie to come up is much. Like, an actual replacement level player is a decent value player to your team. This is your seven hitter, you know what I mean? Your eight hitter. These are guys that, I don't know, make a career. They're good. And as you said, those guys coming up, there's such a variance within them, and there's nothing to base it on. The only thing I could say, go to Fangraphs, go look at the projections. They have zips, they have the bat. Go see what very smart people project them at the major league level when they have to hit guys who have four pitch offerings, as opposed to a guy that's just throwing change up curveballs out in double A, making the big gap. Those would be things I would look at, see where he was coming from, as opposed to where, like, the step between double A and triple A is reserved for high end talent, obviously, but it's such a hit or miss thing. Off the top of your head, Krusty, what do you think would be, if I had to price a number out of every top, let's say, 100 prospects drafted in a year, how many of those do you think would get 5 years of play in the MLB? Which percentage of the 100? I would be at like between 25 and 30%.
Well, we might as well just call this the Kyle Blanks Award. As somebody who is a longtime fantasy baseball player, and certainly also in both AL and NL leagues or dynasty leagues, you start to know about these players, these hot prospects. The Royals brought one up earlier this year, their first baseman. And you see time and time again that it's easier for the media to build up this hype than the reality of who becomes good. So for me, that number is 20% if we're lucky, because we never want to give up on them. So then there's the Kevin Gausmans of the world, where all of a sudden they're like on the fringe of not being there anymore, and then they become a Cy Young Award winner. It's what's always holding me hope for Robbie Dylan Ray, Bundy. Exactly, yeah. You're sitting there and you're like, Dylan Bundy, he was supposed to be so good. I'm never going to quit you, Dylan Bundy. But we feel the same way about young prospects. So for me, that number is what, a 1 in 5 will be there for 5 years?
Yeah. 20%, somewhere in there. I wouldn't go much more than what I was saying was, 330 of 100. But to come full circle here, as every stand-up comedian does, maybe the only edge you have with these rookies is micro-betting them to bomb. Because I don't think the algorithm has their skill set on there. So it might be one of the only chances that you have a small edge in micro betting if you were looking to fade young hitters. I think doesn't change much in the total, but I think if you have access to micro betting, you might be able to fade some guys who have never come up to the big leagues and seen big league pitching.
So for anyone who wants to do their research for us, what I would be interested in is the statistics in second half call-ups and what their in-game micro pitch result or plate appearance lines are. And Josh, I think one of the biggest opportunities in the market that is actually being missed right now in all betting, and certainly NFL, is better stats around the in-game market, because we have the data exists, except it doesn't exist for us as the consumers, because I would love to be able to create these edges. And certainly tell me the teams who are best when down by 14. We know it's teams like the Chiefs, but us and our ability to be like, the Chiefs have a 38% chance of covering a live bet when they are between 10 and 14 points or something like that. With all that is happening in the sports betting world, it blows my mind that there is not a service that we can subscribe to right now that can give us the edge on September call-ups in the second half of MLB doing micro betting.
Yeah, that's quite the niche market I think you've hit on, and you should probably edit this part out if you're going to air it out, because I don't want anybody stealing our golden goose here.
Josh, really enjoyed jamming with you, and I highly recommend everybody follows you for all things sports betting. Where can everybody connect?
Come find me on Twitter. I'm pretty much not away from Twitter ever, as you know. In the industry, it's tough to check out, and if you check out, you're, you know, especially in the MLB season, you just get buried. So I'm always there. Come check on me. Come say anything you want. I've gotten some thick skin over the day, so bring your A game, bring your fade game. Come agree with me, disagree with me. I don't care. Engagement's engagement, and you want to talk about sports betting, I'm always there.
And I want to hear from you. If we are going to be doing some micro betting, what is the betting slip that you are going to do? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.